Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. Are you ready for a snowstorm of global proportion? Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just hit your podcast experience. And here he is, Nicholas Snow.
So Maya Angelou, the great late Maya Angelou, said, the truth is no one of us can be free until everybody is free. So Pride celebrations are popping up where you would least expect them. In some places in the world, there's very well respected and supported marriage equality. In other places, it's just shown up and it's still a struggle. And the United States certainly falls into that category. There are places in the world where people are murdered because they're perceived to be LGBT or T. And even in the United States, the amount of violence directed against transgender people is disproportionately high. So basically, even though there's cause to celebrate, there's still a lot of work to be done. Montego Bay Pride is set for October 25th, 2015. And in the show today, I'm welcoming LGBTQI activist Maurice Tomlinson, who hails from Montego Bay, to preview the October 25th event and to discuss the cultural and political context in which the event is taking place. I link to the Montego Bay Pride Facebook page from this episode, but you can also easily find it on Facebook, Montego Bay Pride.
The snowstorm continues after this.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California. And I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before. And I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
And now, on with the show. He's a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and to media outlets throughout the world. He's an author, singer, songwriter, actor, and activist, and the executive producer and host of NicholasSnow.tv. He has created and continues to do so a snowstorm of global proportions dedicated to connecting the circuitry of humanity. And now, drifting into the studio and your life once again, Nicholas Snow.
I was quoting Maya Angelou at the beginning of the show, paraphrasing once again, basically, until all of us are free, none of us are free. And in Montego Bay, they are free enough to have a pride celebration set for October 25th, 2015. But there's still a lot of work to be done there. And as I also mentioned, there are places around the world where people can be murdered because they're perceived to be LGBT, or in fact, being LGBT is punishable by death. So as much as we are making strides, there is so much left to be done. And in these areas where there are, in fact, pride celebrations happening, there is still a bit of danger that circles in and around those events, and a huge amount of courage that it takes to even hold them. We'll learn whether or not that applies to Montego Bay Pride. I don't know enough about the region to say that it's dangerous to have pride there. It very well may not be, but we have an expert to address that. The recent historic Jamaica Pride that took place in Kingston was an unqualified success. With public endorsements from the mayor of Kingston and the minister of justice, it is clear that the forward march for the full liberation of Jamaican LGBTI people is unstoppable. However, some persons from Montego Bay in Western Jamaica were not able to participate in Pride Jamaica because of financial and other constraints. In fact, many members of Jamaica's community are still only able to get entry-level positions because of stigma and discrimination. Therefore, they had limited time off and resources to travel to and stay in Kingston. So a team of dedicated and motivated local Jamaicans are therefore organizing the first ever Montego Bay Pride on October 25th. And the team is led by internationally recognized LGBTI activist Maurice Tomlinson, who hails from Montego Bay and joins us now on the show. Hey, Maurice, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Nicholas.
It's great to have you here. Now, because I alluded to the fact that Pride celebrations are, in fact, risky for the participants in different parts of the country, does that apply to recent Jamaica Pride, and does it apply to Montego Bay Pride? Tell us about the environment, sort of the cultural and political context of LGBT issues there today.
So, yes, there is the potential to hold a Pride celebration with a lot of security, and what we have to do. We can't, for example, hold a march because the reality is we wouldn't be guaranteed police presence. The last time we held a walk conference, the police lost our application 4 times, and then they showed up with one guy on a bike after I did a sit-in at the police station demanding that someone be there. They sent one guy on a bike, and he was at the very front of the parade, over 200 people. So there was absolutely no security from the police. So we have to use very creative ways, because there is still a lot of hostility towards LGBTI people. Just the fact that we spread generated quite a bit of push from the churches. The anti-gay rhetoric was whipped up in the media, and we saw a lot of death threats being, you know, hurled against the organized Jamaica Pride, which was just concluded. And in terms of physical attacks, just this year, we saw 3 school bus were attacked by a mob because they were perceived to be in a same gender relationship. And this was at their school, and they barely saved their lives. So, you know, there is quite a bit of hostility. So there's a lot of security around the Pride celebration. For example, a lot of the events will happen in a private villa. The persons who come will also have the option of wearing masks. We'll provide them with masks so they preserve their anonymity, and a blank t-shirt that they can wear over their clothes. Our public demonstrations will include a stand, a flash stand, which no one will know about until the day we're doing it. And the attendees will be given masks and a t-shirt, because we have to preserve their anonymity. There are no protections from discrimination in terms of employment or housing or even healthcare because you are LGBTI. So people have lost their homes or been fired because they are seen engaging in public demonstrations for LGBT liberation. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, prior to the beginning of Jamaica Pride, we had a stand in Montego Bay, a stand for equality. For those of us who couldn't make it to Kingston, we had a little stand for equality. And one person decided that, you know, they were going to hold up a placard and wasn't covering their face. And co-workers saw it, friends saw it, and they're now talking to that person. And the person is now, you know, receiving a lot of threats. Even LGBT people have avoided them because they figure they be guilty by association. So it's challenging space, but that doesn't mean we are not going to push forward and try and claim some space, you know, get a little told in. Hopefully next year the law will not be on the books anymore, which criminalizes our orientation and expression.
Well, and I guess for you to make that statement, there must be a process that's fairly well along in the courts that could result in that outcome.
Well, we had filed a case challenging the anti-sodomy law, which has the same gender intimacy. We had to withdraw it because of death threats to the claimant, but we are we're in dialogue with the government. There is a review of a law which can implicate this law. And that's ongoing right now. And we hope that through that process of that review, the government will strike it down. They're reviewing the Sexual Offences Act, which would then include the 1864 British colonially imposed anti-sodomy law. So things are happening. You know, we see that even at Jamaica Pride, the Minister of Justice spoke about his support for LGBT responsible for repealing the law. Or bringing the law to Parliament anyway. So we're hoping
One of the things I think is really fascinating about what you've shared is you've talked about the pervasive attitudes of the local culture toward your community, our community there. And yet you have people such as the mayor and the Minister of Justice who officially support, and even I guess one of them showed up at the event. How do they avoid just vitriol and attacks?
Well, the good thing about the mayor is that she is very popular and she's pretty secure and a very educated individual. She has a PhD and she's an editor. So there's a level where she doesn't care anymore. And she's so secure in her seat. She's a very popular politician. The Minister of Justice, he's a senator, so he's not not an elected official. In Jamaica, you don't elect senators.
Aren't you born into the Senate? Isn't it a familial sort of thing?
No, not in Jamaica. No, he would be appointed.
He's appointed. I gotcha.
He's appointed by the Prime Minister. Okay. But he's also able to insulate himself because he's a very well-established lawyer and businessman. So those kinds of things insulate. I mean, they certainly do get backlash. I've sat in meetings with them and they're civil servants or their bureaucrats try to quash any progressive moves that they try to make because most of the bureaucrats are fundamentalist Christians and are very, you know, conservative. But these two persons have consistently been in support of LGBT rights. The only challenge, the Minister of Justice says, he will not propose it until he sees that we have done enough work, basically, because, you know, whereas he would support it, the government is vulnerable if it was this unilaterally, probably fall.
Well, I just have to say once again, you know, congratulations. You know, even when I was out of the closet in 1983 in Arizona, I wasn't dealing with the environment you're dealing with in Jamaica now. So congratulations for continuing to fight the good fight. I want to ask you to educate me because I know I'm supposed to use the term LGBTI, but I don't fully understand the I. So would you enlighten me and my listeners about the I in the LGBTI?
Sure. So the I refers to persons who are born intersex. That's the proper term, the original term that was used, which is hermaphrodite. So born with indeterminate sexual organs, estimates vary. Some say 1 in 100,000 is born with indeterminate sexual organs. And sometimes the doctors will make the decision to decide for the child, with the consent of the parents, what sex or what gender that that child should have. And sometimes they choose wrongly. So what we're advocating now is that that kind of mutilation not happen. The child should be able to grow with the body that they have and then decide at whatever age if they want to select or elect one or not. It is unfortunate that sometimes this is done. We had a very tragic incident in Jamaica where a child, the parents chose wrongly. They were born intersex, and the child was supposed to be raised a boy. And when they reached puberty, of course, the body decided to manifest truly, and the mother was trying the child to be a boy, and it led to all sorts of complications. The child eventually ran away because psychologically the child always felt like a girl, and the child now is the last time I checked, because they would not accept that the body were given when in fact they were born with both genitalia.
Okay, that helps me out a lot, because I knew that the I stood for intersex, but I didn't know if that was referring to people's birth. What is the word? Physical makeup upon birth. You know, I didn't know if that was right. Referring to that. Now, where do you think that people that are simply gender nonconforming fall in the LGBTQ spectrum? Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to answer my own question, and you can agree or disagree. So, gender has nothing to do with sexual orientation, and so much of what it compels us to behave certain ways around gender is arbitrary and made up. And so people from all walks of life and all sexual orientations are redefining this. And so simply people simply being themselves could be what is viewed as gender nonconforming. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that, definitely. And you know, I try to use the term human as much as possible, because it becomes confusing in different cultures. Gender nonconforming may be quite specific in others. For example, I know that in Jamaica, my voice, my carriage would not be considered manly, but in Canada wouldn't eyebrow. So you know, it's such a fluid thing. I just like the term human, and I wish we would find one definition that covered everybody in that way.
Okay, so the LGBT pride of today is the human pride of 20 years from now.
Exactly.
Okay, so when we come back, I'm going to ask Maurice to tell me about the daily lives of LGBTQI people in Jamaica and that part of the world.
Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes, or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. The snowstorm continues after this.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revivals. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revivals. Find it here. Visit us at revivalstores.com to find a Revivals store near you.
Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November, because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride Festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programming, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
And welcome back. My guest today is Maurice Tomlinson. And Maurice, correct me if I say anything I'm about to say incorrectly. So you are from Montego Bay, but you actually reside in Canada because your life was very much at risk and you basically had to flee the country. And you returned to advance a civil rights work, but you have to do so with extreme caution. Is that true?
Yes, a newspaper in Jamaica, which is actually owned by the Sandals Group, decided to publish an unauthorized photo of my wedding and to my husband in Canada. And that led to a lot of death threats. And sadly, one of my students at the time, I used to teach at university as well, decided to publish my schedule and the car I drove online in response to the article. And so I had to leave because of the death threats, the fact that the police refused to do anything about them, despite them being reported. And I decided to go back to Jamaica to continue my work because I realized that it was too soon to flee and it would have given the homophobes a victory that I didn't want them to have. But I did adopt a very strict security protocol. My husband is an ex-cop and wouldn't have had it any other way. So we have a protocol which I use when I go back. I kind of
and are you in Canada? Or are you in Canada now during the interview?
Correct. I'm in Canada, but I will be going back to Jamaica very shortly.
Which you do, sure. Which you do frequently.
Right.
So tell me, like for example. Clearly, it's clearly there is not an opportunity for people, for the most part, to be publicly out in Jamaica. But how is it for the LGBT community privately? Are there establishments where people can go to meet, or is it all via internet and apps? And do the authorities actually police those apps? So what are the day-to-day obstacles and freedoms, if any, accessible at a more discreet level?
Right. So there are spaces where people can meet. There are some police officers that will ensure security. The challenge is that you can't advertise these spaces as LGBT spaces. The backlash would just be too severe. And we do not have any official policy of non-discrimination or laws. We do have a requirement or police code that the police should not discriminate when dealing with LGBT victims of crime, but there's nothing official in the law. And so we do arrange meetings, arrange events, we just can't have them public.
Wow, Maurice, that's very intense. I just have to commend you for everything that you have been doing and that you are doing.
The snowstorm continues after this.
In Greater Palm Springs, since 1979, the Desert Business Association has promoted and supported LGBT and allied businesses and professionals who join together for business promotion, economic development, educational, and humanitarian purposes. Their vision is to connect, promote, and build prosperity by embracing all members of the community to make a positive difference. They have many events every month. Find them at desertbusinessassociation.com. I'd love to help inspire you and your event and all my listeners. Right now, I want to play my original LGBTQI civil rights anthem, Stonewalls. It was recorded, it's not a professional in-studio recording. This particular recording took place at the Cine Grill at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel on April 25th, 1998. And after the song, I will come back and give you a recap of Montego Bay Pride happening on October 25th, 2015, and give you all the contact information. And once again, Maurice, thank you for all that you do.
Years throughout every season, we've been fighting together every day and night. Cause for prejudice, there is no rhyme, no reason. Come all you people, shine your lights. For the planet is in darkness, and we've got to save it from the Pharisees' assaults upon our lives. Our freedom is at hand, and it's time to claim it. Please live your life, don't compromise.
Thank you.
If you happen to like that song, it's available in all online music stores. I've been speaking with Maurice Tomlinson today about Montego Bay Pride 2015. Their slogan, "Here to Stay in the Bay." Montego Bay, St. James, Jamaica, October 25th, 2015. Find them on Facebook. Just simply search Montego Bay Pride 2015. And of course, know that this event will be ongoing and there'll always be other opportunities to participate. And Facebook is going to be your best bet in terms of keeping abreast of all the details. The event on the 25th starts with a rainbow flag raising at 9 a.m., and events happen throughout the day, and as Maurice mentioned earlier in the show, there are many precautions that they are taking for people that want to participate but need to maintain their anonymity. Thank you again, Maurice, for being on the show, and thank you all for listening.
We are, in fact, connecting the circuitry of humanity. All of us connected. Please continue to connect with Nicholas Snow on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, Instagram, Google Plus, and other social networks. Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. This program is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.